him. Rock on. Acknowledge my song. Bring my posse along to the party. Cause danger zone. From the heart is in effect. So I say, buddy, study. Think and learn. Dig the move we made. Stunning those that just can't behave. Discipline. Here's a hint. It's flew from the crew and too tough. All up in you with the formula coming from me, cause no one told ya of a logo or theory or saying this ain't no joke, Jimmy. I ain't playing, I'm hardcore, straight up raw. I'm the overlord, I door clocking. But no, as if you didn't know, fronting on the scene when it's time to go. Asking for a number from any member of the tough crew band. Remember, jacking on my tip, over tipping.
Welcome everyone to the season finale of Spocast. A lot to talk about tonight. Things are going to go off the rails, so expect it. Let people know to tune in because things are about to get good. Let's get people in here. What's up, Prez?
Hey, just breathe. We're going to work through this together. We're in a safe place for the next maybe 2 minutes.
Like a Lamaze class.
Right, exactly.
My brother's here. All in the family. What's up, bro?
What's going on, guys? What's going on? Good to be back on the Spocast on Monday night for the season finale.
Ooh. You got your Barry White voice on, too. I love
got
it.
Got my Barry White voice on.
Ooh, it on.
What's up, Chef the Raff?
People's up in here. Let's get Skills up in this piece. What's up, Skills? You find your cell phone?
Hold on, gentlemen. Yeah, I just found it. How's
everybody doing? Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. The cell phone has been located. I repeat.
In the building.
Right, cell phone is located. The Eagle has landed.
Fans, if you're listening, call Skills' cell phone. He's got to find it. So guys,
even if it's like 5 hours from now and you're watching this like on a repeat.
So guys, we got a big night tonight, season finale. We got a lot to talk about, big changes ahead. I don't even know where to get into it. Obviously, we have to start with Sabu. What a loss that the wrestling world has faced in the last few days. Robbie, you got your shirt on, right?
Yeah, man. So I'm just going to get down to it and get real with it. I broke into this business by a job that I had at the ECW arena when I was a kid, when it was still Viking Hall and it was still South Philly Vikings. And that's where me and Mike Verdi, Trent Acid, broke in. That's how we broke into the business, was in that building. And Sabu was mythical. Even though we were smart to the business, even though he was to us, he was mythical. In fact, I remember we were kind of working at the building November to remember 95, the night that Sabu came back. So we kind of knew like maybe like 40 minutes before time. And, you know, we couldn't mark out. And, you know, Trent would not mark out, you know, under any circumstance. But, bro, we were kind of marking out. Sabu, that's the first tape I bought from RF Video when I was young. It's what got me. And my dad, it's what got my dad to come to the ECW arena, was to see Sabu versus Terry Funk, Holiday Hell 93. And I was fortunate enough to get to know him a little bit as I got into business, become a little friendly with him. We enjoy some of the same things, you know, and he was just an incredibly generous dude, an incredible sense of humor. Very dry sense of humor, very witty guy, very, very insightful with advice. One things he would tell me to do as far as in the ring, little tips he gave me were things like, you know, when you DDT a guy, if he's bigger than you, sell your ribs a little bit. He would say, when I throw a drop kick, I throw it this way. But when I miss the drop kick, I miss it that way. Because the way you land on a drop kick is the same either way. Why are you selling when you land it, or, you know, selling when you miss it, but not when you land it? It's the same landing. Little things like that. And we did work with them a little bit. This is when I was still managing, but we did work with them a couple times with Blackout. So I was able to at least take a chair and catch for a dive. And he was just so cool. And Johnny, you know, he was in rare form last year when we saw him in Philly. And hilarious as ever, cool as ever. And he's one of those dudes that just, you know, he was a real dude. He was the real deal. He should have made $1 million a million times over for everything he contributed. And if nothing else, I think he left a legacy. He invented a style which is a style that, you know, Johnny and I still do to this day. It's that South Philly style, that ECW arena style of working. And, you know, when you hear that building be a bucket list for so many guys and so important to so many guys and such a big deal last week with, or 2 weeks ago, what they did at the building and coming up, everything they do in that building, Sabu is the reason. Sabu, and with Spo and everything we do, Spo, I always, you know, talking about Face, you know, peeking behind the curtain, I always say, God willing, Face maybe is our Sabu. Even though there's really only going to be one Sabu ever. He was irreplaceable. You couldn't duplicate him. And he will definitely be missed. And I just want to say, I hope that he's with Melissa now. I know that he had a broken heart. And if you ever have lost somebody that you felt like was your soulmate, you know what that feels like. So I hope that they're together now. And I hope he knows how much we appreciated him as a worker, but also always being one of the boys. His ego should have been the size of this room, and it never was. He was always Sabu. So God bless him. He will be missed.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people, like you said, that he influenced us, and then we influenced the next generation. So it's like trickle down. You know, Sabu's influence goes way beyond even us, you know, because everyone we've influenced, every time you teach what Sabu taught you to someone else, you're essentially passing on Sabu's legacy. That's good stuff, Robbie.
Yeah, and I'm very, very happy that he got the send-off that he did, and he went out the way he did. And I give Brett and GCW all the credit in the world. Last year, there was that precarious position he put them in, and to just show you that it's never too late to make amends, and he got to go out on a legendary weekend in front of a crowd that loved him, in front of a locker room that looked up to him. So I'm happy that that was at least able to happen for him.
Yeah, definitely. And we did just see him last week at the event at the 2300 Arena in Philly, where I worked with the Midnight Rock and Roll Express. He was there. Sabu was there. And then he did that podcast Monday night in New York just this past week.
Yeah, a Legion of Skanks. Yeah.
He was literally active right up until he passed, man. God bless him.
And I definitely recommend that. He was hilarious on that.
I didn't watch it.
He was hilarious. Oh, he was hilarious, dude. He's so dry and just, God bless him, man.
Well, he never used to talk, you know. He used to be like the original Sheik. He used to scare the shit out of people.
When we worked at the arena one time, I needed to go up to him for something, and he went quickly, quickly, and tried to kayfabe me and talk with like this like fake, like I guess Indian accent. He's like, quickly, quickly.
Yeah.
And I still sit at the Angelo for the time he was a baby. I'd just be quickly, quickly.
You know, and I just can't help but feel bad for people like Bill Alfonso and Todd Gordon and all these people that were so close to him, man. It's just, it's terrible. And Facade. Did you see what Facade put online the other day? Like, the poor frigging guy, man. How much pain does there have to be in independent wrestling, guys?
Well, you know, I saw somebody online, like, I'm not going to get myself riled up, but I saw somebody online say something about the match at GCW and try to, and it's like, get the fuck out of here. Sabu, we all worship that guy. That guy was all of our heroes. Nobody would cause this guy to take any bump or take any type of injury. We put him on such a pedestal. To say only a fucking mark that doesn't know the insides of the wrestling business would say something like that. Because anybody in this business, they know the way we felt about that guy.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
He was our Terry Funk, our generation. He was our Terry Funk.
Well, and guys like you and Trent Acid and Billy Real, you guys grew up in the ECW arena, in the crowd, watching these guys. Like, that's hallowed ground for you, that arena.
Absolutely. Damn right, Danger Ginger.
Sabu was a legend. Tomorrow's Dark Side of the Ring is on the original Sheik. Okay, and that's Sabu's uncle, or at least so he would say.
Yeah, his uncle, yeah. That was definitely his legit uncle. His uncle's dog's name was Sabu. They named it, so Sabu's actually the second Sabu, yeah.
That's like Indiana Jones. We named the dog Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, the dog's name was Sabu, the first, and then Sabu became Sabu. He was like Terry SR before that, something like that. ridiculous.
Terry SR. Terry SR. Wait a minute. Is that like his like high class, high society gimmick when he turns? Like
no, I think the senior. No, I think the SR was for Superfly something because they were trying to say he was like related to Superfly Snuka.
Oh.
When he first came in. Yeah, if I come back though, if my knee does get better, I'm gonna come back as Robbie SR as a tribute.
That would be awesome.
Put it out there.
That would be awesome. SR. What's SR-71? That's a rocket ship or something, right?
I think so. No, I grew up watching
an airplane.
My brain was going submarine.
So
no, it's a Blackbird. It's a long range strategic reconnaissance aircraft.
There it is. So guys, we got some things we're going to announce here tonight. We've been kind of teasing it all day that we got some stuff to get off our chest. There's a lot of things. We got like three things to talk about. First, we got to talk about the Star Academy. Okay. So we're literally about to open. Like we're going to start moving stuff in. Limited spots are available and classes are starting this summer. So if you want to be a pro wrestler, manager, valet, referee, if you want to be involved in production and backstage, if you want to be involved in design, like graphic design, there's so much more than just wrestling that we're offering. But the thing is, we have to start moving stuff into the school like this week. Like we literally, they're putting up walls for us and we've already painted black. Like we got a lot of work to do. But it's going to be the next few weeks that we're going to be spending every day there. We can't be doing Spocasts on Monday and Tuesday nights the next few weeks because we got to get the school together. And then once the school's open, we'll be training on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I don't know what's going to happen to Spocasts after today. It's at least going to take a hiatus until Memorial Day weekend once we get the school open. So at least for the next 2 weeks, we're not going to have any original programming on here. No Spocasts, no Spo City. But they will be back once we figure out how to do all that, guys. So that's one of the big announcements right now. All right.
I mean, that's good timing because, you know, over the next couple of weeks, if people are in college, there's college graduations. Some high schools are graduating in May, Memorial Day weekend, you know, get past all that. Plus then move in. So then when you come back, I guess by then it'll be the beginning of March or beginning of June.
Beginning of June.
There you go.
And that's like, the thing. Now you're
set up.
Our commitment, and we have to make a commitment to our students. We have a few people that have applied so far, and there is going to be a little bit of a vetting process for our school. I just want to put that out there for everybody. So we are trying to find qualified candidates, at least when it comes to in-ring, but also because Spo is a family, and Spo is a family-oriented product and a family-oriented company that raises money for nonprofits, we're going to be very careful and do our due diligence, which can ensure parents of anybody that comes to this Pro Wrestling Star Academy. It can ensure females that want to get involved in the wrestling business that this will be a safe, inclusive environment for everybody. So our commitment is to those students who so far who have applied and have asked about possibly joining our school. Our commitment is to get this school looking as beautiful as possible because our intention is also to, of course, have a place for our students to be able to perform as well. So when you see with these renovations, the elbow grease, the sweat, hopefully no blood. You know, they say blood, sweat, and tears. We've already cried a little bit, and we've definitely sweat. But hopefully there's no blood involved unless I trip with my cane. But we're really working hard. Mitch, our founder, along with Johnny, myself, Tony, Mike, all the team that's there working with us at the building, we're going to try so hard to get this building open as fast as possible so we can get back here on Spocast and on Spo City. But we're committed. There are some schools out there they operate based off reputation. They operate based off word of mouth. They operate based off advertising. Right now, we don't have any of that. We are brand new. So what we're going to operate off of is what we do have is our effort and our commitment. So unfortunately, stuff like this, which we love doing, these podcasts and stuff, this time tomorrow night, we'll be carrying stuff into the building. But it's so that we can get open as fast as possible and God willing, in June, be back on the Spocast, and you'll see a ring behind us, and kids are going to be training, and hopefully we're going to be making some moves with that. So that's just to add some more clarity to that, too, because we're super excited about this Pro Wrestling Star Academy.
Can we get Robbie like a little scooter with maybe like a wagon attached? That way, like, no risking of tripping and falling like while you're bringing stuff into the building.
Yep, there it is. Pro wrestling is booming right now, everyone. So if there's ever a time to get into wrestling, you know it. You've seen Netflix, right? It's everywhere. It's the biggest thing. I mean, now is the time to get into wrestling. And Robbie and Phil, you guys remember back in 99, the boom. We got in on a boom. Right? And now
the
this is
the Attitude Hour. The Attitude Hour. The middle of the Attitude Hour.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I feel like we're entering into our own little Attitude Hour lately.
Right. This is a new era. So, you know, it's time for then a new school. It's I think it's the perfect timing.
Yeah, you know, we used to train people. Me and Trent train people. We have, for example, Kid Legend, one of our old students from the old pro PWU Animal House, is with us again. You know, so Mark Angel was trained there. You know, so I've trained people a lot in my day, and it's exciting to have people coming back and to have old students coming back. And, you know, it's going to be a great place. It's going to be a haven of pro wrestling. Anything pro wrestling will happen there. We're going to be collaborating. It's going to be such a high energy artistic environment, and there's something for everyone. There's something for everyone. Because listen, guys, you know, right now we're doing the Spocast here on YouTube, on Facebook, and it gets uploaded. But the vision is to have it on our own app, right?
Our own app?
Well, we're doing Radiant, for example. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we have the Radiant TV app, blah, blah, blah. So we're on that. But ideally, it's in our best interest to have our own app. And honestly, it's already in beta testing. It's already in beta testing. I've been debugging it all day already, starting to debug it. So it's already in beta testing. The Spo Wrestling app is coming. It'll be available on all major platforms, App Store, Apple, you know, Android.
Play Store,
very soon. It'll be available very soon. We have to upload content. So not just the school, we also now have the app coming right to your phone. You'll be able to purchase tickets. You'll be able to communicate with each other. You'll be able to see content. You'll be able to see the event in its entirety coming soon. So this SPO app is the future, you guys. And I want everyone to understand the reason we have to sort of stop a few weeks of doing the Spocast. It's for maintenance, spiritual maintenance, physical maintenance. We're trying to create a sustainable product here so we can keep letting kids in our events for free. Robbie, you want to start about that?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. With everything we're doing right now, our commitment from day one of coming to Harris in Chester was to Mayor Roots of Chester. And that was to provide shows that the kids of Chester would never have to pay for a ticket. And the same way I speak of our Pro Wrestling Star Academy being a safe, inclusive environment, same thing goes for Harris Casino. So everything we do with Spo Wrestling, the wrestling is second. We are a service and a people company first and foremost, and the wrestling is a vehicle for how we do that. The music, the artists we bring in is a vehicle for how we do that, for how we try to service the community and try to give back. But with that being said, I'll be straight up. This is a mom and pop, and we are running on a very, very limited budget. We operate through the grace of God and the generosity of our sponsors. So with that being said, our commitment is to those kids and to those sponsors. So over the next few months, we may need to scale back a little bit. There will be no drop in quality whatsoever. But we may need to scale back a little bit as far as our roster goes, as far as our shows go, as far as what we're able to provide to everybody right now for no cost. Now, that being said, I'm hoping that this is a time that the guys that are really in it to win it And the guys that really believe in what we believe in and are really service-oriented and people-oriented and God-oriented, I hope that they'll stand by us. For example, something that is very important to us is raising money for a young man who we met this past Thursday, Nylik Ellison. We would love, there's Nylik and his dad, Micah. And I will tell you right now that Thursday night, meeting this young man is one of the, and I'm not just saying this. I will be affected by it for the rest of my life, seeing what he's going through. Right now, he's been told he's quadriplegic, but I believe in miracles, so I believe that maybe one day he's going to recover. The GoFundMe, the link is on our screen right now. You can also just Google Nylik, and you can find the GoFundMe. It's horrible what happened to him. I hope the man that hit him with the car goes to jail for the rest of his life, and I hope he goes to hell for a million years after that.
No, we
don't. Because he tried to flee the scene.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's awful, but we're praying for Nylik, but we also want to do something special for Nylik. So that's what we're working towards this summer when we announce our next date, is doing something special for Nylik. So that's who our commitment's to. That being said, our commitment is to Nylik and to the kids of Chester and to Mayor Roots. It's not to anybody else but that, first and foremost, and everything comes after that. That being said, we're going to give you the most amazing show you ever saw in your life, like we've done three times already at Harris. We're going to leave you wanting more, like we did three times already at Harris. And we're going to make some kids in that arena want to come join our wrestling school, like we did three times at Harris, when people are saying, where can I learn to be a wrestler? Where can I learn? But with that being said, we are going to need to scale back a little bit, because the reality is that there's a lot of competition out there for Spo. And on top of that is, you know, we're cool guys, but when it comes to wrestling, we're maybe not the cool kids. We're making family entertainment. We don't have, you know, the corporate sports entertainment, combat sports people behind us. I can't just flash me and, you know, I could put a picture up of me and Goldberg on Monday Night Raw for 5 seconds, but I can't just get him on the phone to take a picture with me.
Bro, we're the island of misfit toys.
We're the Bears, dude.
Go ahead.
No, well, I look at Skills and what Skills is doing in New York. And there's a lot of companies up there in New York, Skills, but when wrestling is now is nothing like them. And I feel like Skills was in a position a lot like us. It's a necessity thing. These guys don't want to play ball with a guy like Skills because they're threatened by him. And he's just trying to put his people on and provide something for the people in that area. You know, that's the reality of it. You look at Spo, you look at a guy like Phil who contributes so much to independent wrestling. People should be falling over themselves to give Phil Hall of Fame plaques and awards and all this stuff, but they don't. So that's what this is. This is the island of misfit toys. This is, you know, but we're not underdogs.
No, well,
we're pit bulls.
But we're not corporate. We're not corporate. Let me tell you guys something. And let me bring Donnie in here for this. Donnie, you there, brother?
I am. Hello, gentlemen. Sorry.
How you doing, Donnie? What's
going on, Donnie?
Robbie, I was listening to everything you said. I have a lot of viewpoints on that, but go ahead, Johnny.
You got to just turn your volume up a little bit more, Donnie.
Oh, okay.
But what I wanted to say is just how, like, you know, us as a team, okay, we're all misfits. You know, my life, you know what I've been through, being in the closet the first 10 years of my friggin' career, of the first 30 years of my life. That's what I'm saying. Like, I've been through some shit, and I got PTSD, and I got nerves. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're doing it for people like Nylik. We're doing it for people like Tone Love, who believes in us. Not for people like Damon Feldman, who now, Donnie, by the way, this is how you know we've made it, okay? Damon Feldman, the man that put me in his Hall of Fame, has gone after Velcro now and made him sign a non-compete clause. So he can't be on our next show if we run between now and June 17th. Now, the kind of guy I am, I told Velcro, hell yeah, go for it. We'll help you promote that you're going to be at this frigging thing. We're not going to say you can't wrestle for us in the future. Like, anyone that tries to take money out of a SPO pocket is taking money out of people like Nyleek's pocket or all the kids in Chester that Mayor Roots is kind enough for everyone that pays a ticket. They let a kid in for free. Like, this stuff is so invaluable. We are humanitarians first and wrestlers second. And Donnie, when I was in it the first time, I was a wrestler first and a human being second. And I'm disgusted with myself. And this isn't a second chance. This is not a second chance. This is do it right, period. We have to do it right. And we have to do it with the tools God gave us. And right now, the tools God gave us are Phil Stamper and Skills the Great and Robbie Marino and Keith Fitness and Ryan O'Neill and Mitch Stein and our school. That's all the tools we have right now, Donnie. At our disposal, we have no choice but to use it to try to build, right? Isn't that what you did?
I think you're learning now, Johnny. You are coming into the field.
The volume. The volume's got to go up, bro.
Is it better?
I'm trying. I don't know how to do it.
Better? Hold on. Let's see.
Edit mic settings. Here we go. It said you can go up. I don't know.
Is that better? Let me keep talking until it works.
There you go.
Go ahead. Is that
just
better?
Like really project your voice.
Hey, can you hear me?
Just really project your voice and we can hear you.
All right. Johnny, I think you're coming to the realization that I had when I was a promoter. You're looking at it more. I always envisioned myself as a Knight of the Templar, like a guardian of my town and my community. That's why I was so adamant against shit running in this town. Or I always concerned myself with what I was doing and nobody else. Even when it came to talent, if these people want to go work somewhere else or they're not, first of all, you guys got to realize none of these people, no one that you associate with in professional wrestling is going to be loyal to you. No one. I've said it a million times. If Adolf Hitler was resurrected tomorrow and ran a show, there would be a line out the door to work for him. And you can disagree with me, but that's the truth. Telling you right now, how many people still work for a certain individual, LOL, pretend you're 18, okay? Those are people who understood that reference, but you get what I'm saying. They will work for anyone. I don't care who you are. They are not loyal to you. All you can do is put your vision out there. I'm super proud of what you guys are doing. I know sometimes the road is bumpy. It was for us. You know how many times I had fights and battles with Jersey All-Pro or Dapper and these idiots out there? But I never concerned myself with any of them because I knew at the end of the day, they didn't have my product. They didn't have my knowledge. They didn't have my skills as a promoter. None of it. So I never worried about it. The only time I ever thought to myself there'd be an issue if they were running an event in the same venue that I was in on the same night. Other than that, I didn't give a shit. You know how many times I ran a show and Dapper the next day called the building and tried to snake it from me? Or Fat Frank called the building the day after the Haas Cup, when I did the Haas Cup at the Tom's River, the next day, Fat Frank called. Fat Frank was at my show that night for the Haas Brothers. Helped me give Russ's Deidre, Russ's ex, or his wife at the time, Russ passed. He helped me give her a check. The next morning, Fat Frank was calling the owner of the building, offering him $1 more per chair to try to steal my building. That's the truth. God's honest truth. And I didn't hate Frank. I said, hey, whatever, man. But I don't concern myself with what anybody else ever did. I don't think you should. I think you guys just keep your vision intact. You got a great team. If I was running tomorrow, if I started a company tomorrow, my first two hires would be Shane Fair and Phil Stamper. They would be the first two individuals I hired if I were starting a company tomorrow. For behind the scenes, logistics, operations manager, everything else. They would be on my full-time payroll. For the life of me, I can't understand why like somebody like Tony Khan or somebody else hasn't reached out to guys like that, but whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's truth, man. I have no reason to lie.
Donnie, but, let me ask you a more fundamental question, okay? And this is me talking. Have I overestimated tag team wrestling?
To an extent. I think the tough thing with tag team wrestling, especially from a budgetary point of view, I would never have more than one tag match on a show. Because you've seen it. When you do one tag match on a show, it's four guys, it's four paydays, four flights maybe. Even if they come in, it's still a tag match. It's an attraction. I never liked having more than one tag match. That's just me. These tag tournaments and this and that. It's just you look at the post and there's 42 people on the show. Streamlined, 2 hours at most. If you want to do 2:15 with an intermission, that's fine. 5 or 6 matches, that's it. Plenty of interactive before the show, meet and greet. That's the way to do it. The average attention span is not more than 2 hours anymore. If you're lucky at that.
It's not. I'll be honest with you. I'm starting to lose faith in the tag teams of today. I am.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll say it to their faces. I am. I'm losing faith in them. I see no innovation at all. Yeah. All everyone wants to, all the singles, all the tag wrestlers want to ask single wrestler prices.
For sure.
And they don't draw. They're not a draw. There's not, they're just not. So, I never see anyone online saying, damn, I would love wrestling if there were more tag teams or if only tag
like
team.
The Hardys. Never hear. Yeah, like, yeah. I still say in the last, prove me wrong, but I still think the two best teams in the country right now are the Backseats and the Rep. I've been saying that for the last 2 or 3 years.
I mean, Backseats are at least getting booked everywhere. Rep don't really get booked a lot of places though. Like why not? Why are they not out there?
I have no idea. I push for them to the hilt. For TNA, man, I don't know what went wrong with that, or if it's still going, I have no idea. But
the rep are tremendous.
They're awesome. I don't.
Yeah, they're.
I'm boggled. My mind is boggled on it. Yeah, but
they came out, Donnie, I wish you could have been there at our show a few weeks ago. They came out with, we had a rapper booked on the show who it turned out grew up with the Rep. Total like coincidence. So
oh, wow.
He rapped them out to the ring and the Rep were just like that. The biggest baby faces in Harris within 10 seconds. Of course, Skills helped turn them baby face too, because they were out there to get their hands on Skills. So props to Skills for that too, buddy. But yeah, Donnie, I agree with you 100% about the Rep. Of course, the Backseats too, obviously. But I mean, the Rep, as far as being not getting the looks that they should be getting, yeah, the Rep should be somewhere. And honestly, because they're good kids. You could sign them and you would never have to worry about a DUI or a Me Too or a drug test or steroids. They are the Rep are just good. Yeah, they're hireable. They're employable wrestlers for sure.
Yeah. Very professional.
When you hire talent, you're not just hiring people that are in the ring. You're hiring envoys for your company. You're ambassadors. I mean, if somebody runs into, you know, Johnny in McDonald's in that town and they're doing a show next month and he turns around and he's a Neanderthal, people are automatically going to be turned off. But he's if he's well-spoken and articulate and people say, wow, that guy's on the show. That's cool. Like, that's what you're hiring. That's what I did with Phoenix Championship Wrestling. Even Harley Lewis, I mean, as insane as Harley was, I mean, he was fine with me, but I'm just saying guys like that or, you know, these insane maniacs, I never had to worry about them in, like, real life. But, I mean, that's why I didn't have all the issues in my locker room that some of the other locker rooms had.
Yeah, but you were like UConn Cornelius with the Abominable Snow Monster with Harley. So yeah, no one was going to mess with you. Well, I call it, you know what I call it? I call it a chomp chomp. You know what a chomp chomp is in Mario? There's balls that are on a chain and try to bite you. Well, they try to kill you. But when you go around behind them and get the chain, now they're your chomp chomp hurting other people.
No, I agree with you guys totally. And I agree with the scale. If you have to scale back and have to retool and revamp, that's fine. I did it. I mean, I went from bigger to smaller and smaller, but it doesn't matter. As long as you just stay consistent, put out a quality product, don't compromise your morals or your team, don't do bad business, don't burn anything along the way like towns or buildings or people, then you'll be fine.
The Spo Wrestling app, Donnie.
Oh, wow, really?
That's Spo Wrestling app's in beta testing right now. Look at it. It's in beta testing.
Early access.
That's awesome, man. This is the innovation that I love. Like, everything you guys are doing. And who gives a shit if you're not the cool kids on the internet? I heard somebody say that. Like,
Everyone else will have apps now. Give it 2 weeks. All the corporate wrestling. Let me tell you guys something. All right. What we're doing in wrestling right now is like building a pyramid. Okay. Yes. And we are doing it with vine ropes and pull and carts. Okay. But the corporate wrestlers are doing it with heavy machinery. Bulldozers, tractors, booms, cranes. Our pyramid's better. Period. Because we're building it with blood, sweat, and tears.
The amount of what duct tape and string sometimes it takes to get events to just physically hold together.
That's it. And then we got guys like Damon Feldman, who's running Sugar Shane Mosley in his main event with billboards up and down 95 on all the major news channels. And he's worried about his fighters wrestling for us. This is the man that called me a few months ago asking me to get him wrestlers to box for him. So what's he going to do? Take the wrestlers I send him and then say, oh, now you can't wrestle for Johnny anymore. And all of it is taking money out of kids' pockets. Like, come on, people. It's not coming out of my pocket. It's coming out of kids' pockets.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're not making any money from any of this yet. No. We just started this thing. We're trying to give the kids a good show, and it's like Damon's like, oh, fuck the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the kids.
His whole organization, his whole conglomerate.
I can promise you is that Spo Wrestling will never say fuck the kids.
We'll
never take the money and run. Like,
but this guy, like, come on, man. These guys are so powerful. They're so big. They got everything. And they're worried about what we're doing? It's like McDonald's trying to close down a kid's lemonade stand.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I would just ignore them and move on. If they don't want
to. Dude, what about Tone Love? Yeah, but what about Tone Love? What about what that man's been through? Losing his daughter, and now he's got a charity and sells cotton candy.
Organic at that.
So that they can give money to people that didn't have the same support that they wish they had when their kid was doing bad. Like, every ticket that comes out of SPO or every corporate wrestling fed out there that wants to pay our talent money so that they don't have to wrestle for us, you're taking money out of these kids' hands. You're not hurting us. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Peggy, what up, Peggy?
But yeah, Donnie, you know, we're trying to make the next show as like a benefit.
Johnny, yeah, this the same shit was going on in the early 90s. This is nothing new. Like, until the end of time, you're going to have roaches and vultures and everything else in the business. It's nothing new, dude.
But I want to stay positive. You know, we want to be positive. We want to be happy. You know how easy it is for me to get mad and be vengeful and say, oh, I'm gonna now mess with Damon Feldman's boxing. No, I'm not going to do that. He can take 10 more shots at me, and I'm not firing one back. Because as soon as I fire one back, I took the eyes off the kids. And I can't do that.
Don't punch down, Johnny. Don't punch down. Ignore these idiots. Just they'll all go away. Just have a focused vision of what you're doing, blinders on. You guys just worry about it. If all of you on this team and in this company just focus on your mission and your job and what you guys are supposed to do, this cancels out all the white noise. That's all it is. It's a white noise. Nothing that you just said about wrestlers working for whoever, whatever his name is, whoever these people are, and this and shit, none of that sells a ticket.
No.
Nothing of what was just said in the last 20 minutes has sold one ticket. None. That's the only thing that matters. Tickets, sales, people in the building. No matter how to get there. If you want to give them a comp? Cool. They'll come in and buy money for food and they'll buy a ticket next show. Just get them in the building. That's all that matters, dude. None of this other shit is accomplishing that.
Yeah, but you know what? Look what Mitch just said. The fact remains, when the bigger kids in the playground start to pick on the little kids, it's because they're scared. Well, Robbie, what did you say to me today? Who are we, Robbie?
We bully the bullies.
We bully the bullies.
Whoever dog that is part of our bully the bully squad, too.
They know what it is.
Right now. They know what it is.
We bully the bullies. We're the guardian angels of pro wrestling from now on. Period. I don't care. We see something that's wrong. We're going to speak up about it. We're going to do something about it. Anyone doesn't like it, stop me. Period.
That's it. Just do your show, bro. Yeah.
That's it. So we're going to have a date to announce real soon. We have the app that we're in the middle of beta testing and trying to populate. We have the school that we're going to be moving into this week and renovating. So guys, sky's the limit. If you're interested in being a wrestler, now is the time. Now is a boom. Now is when you get on board.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And learn from the best. Hall of Famers.
Right. That's right, man. We're going to train these people up to be stars. If you come and train with us, all right, you have Loco Wrestling, which is like our NXT. It's a place where you can go right from training to wrestling on the events. And then from there, you might be able to work your way into SPO. So as a wrestler, when I was a wrestler and I trained with the Pitbulls, they didn't have a federation. There was no guarantee that when I was done training, I was going to have bookings. With
you
us,
go get it yourself.
You got a ready-made playset here. We're basically giving kids a playset right out of the box.
To make it to SPO. That's awesome.
I'm trying to set you up for success. That's the main thing, is that anybody that comes through our doors and is committed to their own success, we're going to match that commitment for that student, and we're going to try to do everything we can to help them be successful, including be honest with them about where there are limitations and where there are strengths.
Yes.
I worked outside of pro wrestling. I worked in the fitness industry for almost 20 years. I was in charge of doing the recruiting and placing for managers for GNC. So I've been in a leadership role outside of wrestling. I know everybody thinks that I'm just this like gangster rap pothead wrestler, but outside of this industry, though, I'm just very convincing in my gimmick is all. That's all. I'm just a good actor. But outside of this, I have worked for a long time in a position of leadership in a mentoring role. And I'm very committed, along with Johnny and everybody on our team, to making sure if you come in to our doors with a dream and work ethic, we will do everything we can to make sure that dream can come true. The only thing that'll be stopping you is yourself, because like I said last week, how you do anything is how you do everything. And we try to teach you to do everything with meaning and with intent. And that hopefully will show when these first group of students get started in the next couple weeks.
And you know something, Robbie, too, and this is not me tooting my own horn. It's just me knowing what I am. I'm a formator. I can take people off the street and make them calm enough and understand that this what the wrestling business is, and bring them into the ring and train them and give them the basics. And then I can hand them off to another trainer who's going to teach them more spots and stuff, because I'm more of getting them in. I'm more the creator. I'm more planting the seed in the soil, watering it, giving it light. And then once it starts sprouting, that's when Robbie comes in. That's when Rick Blade comes in. That's when Pat Dynamite comes in. Whoever our trainers at our school are going to be, that's when all that comes in. So it's a team. Don't think, oh, I'm just going to learn Johnny's way. That's one color in a box of 64 crayons. You're going to have 64 different crayons to learn from in our thing. So you're going to get a little bit from everybody. And you're going to get to pick and choose what you want as part of your career moving forward, too. You can't beat that. It's like a buffet, right?
Well, it's like a real school. You know, in college, you pick your classes. You're not told what your curriculum is. You pick what you want your area of study to be, and you take it from there. And that's what we're going to do. You know, it's not just your style of in-ring work, but there are a lot of opportunities in wrestling that aren't necessarily wrestling. And sometimes if you're somebody who, for example, wants to be a referee and is committed to be a referee, and you look at referee as your dream is to be a referee. It's not a fallback in case you can't take, you're not a good wrestler. The odds are you might get signed being a referee, because there's not a lot of people that just would love to be a referee. So we want to try to, for people that are non-wrestling talent that are looking to be managers or announcers or valets, we want to teach them. Granted, you don't need to come to a wrestling school to learn how to be a ring announcer. But there's definitely nuance to being a color commentator or a play-by-play analyst.
Yep.
So we want to try to help everybody be successful. And ultimately, we want to try to set everybody up so that if a career in pro wrestling is something that is important to them, well, we want to make it important to us. And we want to try to help you have that career. And not just wrestling on the SPO shows, but also opportunities, you know, in New York with Skills and his company and some of our other sister feds that we work with. And also we have guys like Donnie B in our network who, Donnie, for anybody out there who doesn't know why Donnie is on this podcast, he was very, very important in the career of Johnny and Trent Acid and so many other people. And in fact, Donnie, I did want to ask you, were you there the night that Devin Storm wrestled Sabu for Dennis?
I hope so. I'm the one who booked it.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Were you the one who booked it?
Well, we had the idea that Sabu was available because he had heat with Paul, and there's a whole story right to that. Maybe we'll tell it sometime.
Yeah.
But, and then Dennis said to me, what about him versus Devin? He was pushing for that. And I said, yeah. So I talked to Devin a little bit about it. Devin was obviously aboard. And then we talked to Sabu for like a couple minutes beforehand. And everybody thought that, oh, Sabu's just going to squash him. But that's not what happened. We knew.
No.
I didn't know it was going to be that awesome, but I was 5 feet away. I'm pretty sure you could see me on camera. I was hanging right next to Dennis. And then, we heard whole story about what happened with him and Paul and all that. And it was great.
Because Bill, I think Billy worked that show. It was like maybe one of Billy's first.
Billy Real?
Yeah, I feel.
I don't know if he was on that. He might have been. He was always floating around.
What venue were you? What venue did that match happen
in? I want to say that was Woodbury.
Woodbury Armory, right?
I think it was Woodbury.
Yeah, I think it was Woodbury Armory.
I just remember Dennis going nuts, like, and Cornette was there too. I'm pretty sure Cornette was there. Maybe Cornette was there. He was doing the third party bookings at the time. So every time you got a talent, Jimmy would say, for an extra $300, you can get Jim Cornette on your show.
But, like the old Snooka Splash. Remember the pay scale for the Snooka Splash?
He did it to me at Wildwood for Fiero, and he was going to come off the second, and then somehow he came off the top. So I always assumed that Gino Moore or somebody went into his pocket, but that would be impossible. I don't think he could fit his hand in that pocket. Maybe it was somebody else, or Jimmy just wanted to hit me with the splash, which was still not as stiff as Bundy's.
Jimmy's the ultimate worker of all time. Can you imagine? Like, here, you booked me, but if you want the thing I'm known for, I need an extra $250.
Yeah, it was like $500, $750 with the splash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some promoters would pay him twice because they'd give Metal Maniac the money for him to do it, and then he'd say he didn't get it, so they'd have to pay him again before Jimmy would go out.
I would kill to just be somebody's Metal Maniac.
Metal Maniac would wait in line at Bundy to get a picture with him at in the ring, at intermission, in makeup. He waited in line with the fans to get a picture with Bundy in the ring.
I think you were. When I almost had to beat up the Metal Maniac when he was doink for Dennis the one night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Inferno hadn't shown up yet, and we had to have him go out before intermission, and he literally got 2 inches from my nose and told me he wasn't going out before intermission because his face makeup would get destroyed, and he couldn't do Polaroids at intermission in the ring as doink with bad makeup. So then him and I had a little discussion / confrontation in a bathroom in that building of the school. And needless to say, Jeff Miller went out to the ring before intermission.
And you and him entered a stall, and you came out as Doink and performed.
No.
You put that Doink costume on.
That's how I stole the Hank costume from Johnny.
But hold on. Donnie, have you or have you not been Doink?
I was Doink.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I worked the main event. Yeah, West Virginia for Dennis Carluzzo. I'm driving to the show with Dennis. It was supposed to be Doug Gilbert and somebody else in the main. And he goes, oh, we're screwed. Doug ain't coming or some shit. He goes, we need a main event. It's got to be Lupus was with us. He said Lupus against Doink. And wow. I go, who the hell wants to see that? He goes, no, it'd be great, man. Lupus against Doink. And I go, who the fuck, who do you have is playing Doink? He goes, you are. I go, what? I'm not doing that. He goes, oh, come on, Don. You can do it. So like, because it was Kent, it was Lupus, one of my best friends in the world. I agreed to do it, and we went out there, and we had a main event. I remember Lupus saying to me, what's the finish? I said, I don't know, either Whoopee Cushion off the top or the Death Valley Driver, whatever I'm feeling.
6-1.
He said, please do the Death Valley Driver. I couldn't do the Whoopee Cushion without killing him, so I didn't do that.
Right. The Whoopee Cushion.
But yeah, I was doing, and I did it for Cue Ball, Big Slam, too, against Cue Ball. I worked Cue Ball for a Big Slam show as Doink, so I was Doink twice.
Because you did a good job in the first Doink. That's why they got you in the second time.
Yeah, I was the most jacked Doink of all time. I was like 6 foot, like 210 is there, lean.
Is there footage of this?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm sure there is somewhere, but it's old NWA. I could find that. I'll try to find it for you guys. I was a good Doink. Right.
That's a watch along right there when we come back.
Yes, I got to find that. Mark Carluzzo might have it.
That'd be awesome.
Big shout out. Yeah.
Donnie,
stole a Doink costume from me. He promised if I gave it to him, like, he'd make me new gear and never made me the new gear.
Who, Bob Starr?
Josh Cody.
Oh, I thought you said Bob Starr was Doink now. For a while, too. The smelliest Doink in the world.
Ew. You know who was at the event at the arena last week? Doug Gilbert was there. We got to see him, Donnie. Have you seen Doug?
Really?
We got to see Doug. And guess who else was there? You're never going to believe it. J.R. Ryder.
What?
Yeah, he looks great too, dude.
What was he doing there?
Hanging out.
Get out of here. He drove up here from Florida to hang out.
I don't know if he drove or flew, but let me tell you something. He looks more like a pro wrestler now than he ever has at any point in his career.
I like Kenny. I always thought, I don't know what happened with Kenny's career. I have no idea, but I thought he was onto something when he did that. He was doing an Evil Knievel gimmick. He was going to ride a motorcycle and be a failed stuntman or something that became a wrestler. I thought it was cool as shit.
That would be great.
I had no idea what happened.
Like Super Dave.
Kenny, I liked Kenny. Yeah, it was cool.
I was talking to him. I said, you know, it's nice. I said, I made every mistake in my past, and now I get to get a second chance to make up for it. And he went, yes, you sure did.
I like Kenny. I always thought he was cool. I never had an issue with Kenny.
Yeah. Well, remember I told you at the Blackwood CYO Center, he threw that metal door open in his entrance, and it hit the kid, and the kid flew backwards into the wall. You got to find that footage.
It's like when Billy Real smashed a bottle over his head and gave him half a dozen stitches with the beer bottle.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they went to the bar after the show. That's what kept Billy banned pretty much from Dennis and a lot of other people. He snuck Kenny from behind, would have smashed a beer bottle over his head, and he cut him good. Like
the I remember now.
Billy went. There was a warrant for Billy's arrest for a while.
Yeah.
He got out of Dodge. I forget, maybe Angel. Somebody took him out of there, drove him out of there that night. But
unreal.
I think if Kenny would have got his hands on him, he would have murdered him. But
it probably.
Billy had multiple green lights on him over the years.
Yeah, I was there when the Misfits threw him out of the car. We were going down to Ian Rotten's show, and they pulled over and they threw Billy out. I have no idea how he got home.
Halfway
down to Ian Rotten's show.
Well, I'll tell you all fair. Around. Sometimes Johnny knows a story. Like 20 years ago, Billy had like 19 extra years. Jeez, 20 years ago, he had so much heat on him in South Philly that like one of my cousins called me and was like, yo, your boy Billy Real. I'm like, no.
He ain't my boy.
Yeah. Well, God, may he rest in peace.
I'm glad you guys, was Sabu at that event last Saturday? Was he there?
Yep.
And did he look okay?
Looked like Sabu, yeah. And then he supposedly did great Monday at his New York booking.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened with that. I have a little bit of knowledge on it that I won't share only because I don't think it's been made public yet. But I really don't think it's nefarious.
Me neither.
No, I think he just passed away. Maybe from hard living. But, that's it. And his Dark Side of the Ring is on tomorrow night.
His or the Sheik?
His. I Sabu? Thought she's on it, though, with the Sheik or whatever. Yeah, the Sheik and Sabu. I think their Dark Side is tomorrow night.
It is.
You know, he said that Sabu. Years ago, he had said he stopped wrestling because he had a broken heart when Melissa died.
Robbie and everybody else, I have said that in the pantheon of wrestling names, Sabu should have been a multi-time millionaire retired living on an island.
Right.
He is one of a handful of human beings that truly – there's no ECW without Sabu and that build to Barely Legal with Taz. I'm telling you, he was the reason – he was the underground reason that everyone was attracted. They had to see this crazy man. And I can't understand if there was heat or what, but it boggled my mind that when it came time that they couldn't figure out a way to do something with like up in Vince with imagine a feud with him and Steve Austin. When it starts going sideways with the Alliance and Paul brings in Sabu. And I don't want to hear, like, he couldn't work Steve Austin. Really, Sabu had classics against Terry Funk. You don't think he could work Austin? Or a program against Brock Lesnar. Something like that, man. Just I just wish that Sabu had a real-life handler, like a real-life manager who would have been his caretaker and not try to exploit him and look out for his well-being and investments. He could have just been one of these legendary figures out there like Jim Morrison floating in the ethos that you had to go see every 10 years or something. But I really believe when it's all said and done and you line up everybody that's ever been in professional wrestling, he's at that front of the line. Without a doubt, dude. There's no doubt about it. Nice guy.
You know, and with a lot of these older wrestlers like, you know, Stevie Richards and Maven and all finding a whole new genre of work for themselves on YouTube, I feel like Sabu could have killed it on YouTube in his later years.
YouTube or even a podcast. I know he's not, he might not have been the most well-spoken person, but with a little coaching or if he was healthier, think of how cool that would have been, man. Just would have coached or something like, you know, Conrad Thompson or whoever, but just, I don't know, man. There was way more there and he deserved better from life just to be downtrodden. I think at one point he was living with Cassati in Vegas or something, I heard. Right. Just, you know, that kind of shit, man, is just depressing for somebody who literally was the spearhead of an entire organization and genre and cult following. Unless you saw it, you were there firsthand in the business like we were, you have no idea the impact that Sabu had throughout the 90s. It's
well, crazy. he would pull up to the arena, Donnie. I mean, I know you weren't at DCW Arena, but you probably, when he pulled up to Dennis's, pull up in a big ass Winnebago, hot Japanese girl with him. He's got on cowboy boots, Sabu pants, a silk white shirt, just the two bottom buttons buttoned. He's got he's got a turban on his head. He was, you know what I mean? He was just, it was like the Sheik. Like you would see the Sheik walking back in the day with the suit on and the turban on. And he just, he just embodied the business and that gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, he was, like I said, he was like mythical, you know. The only thing I can equate it to, like, as like being the boys, is Attila's down here, Donnie, Attila's gym, Wildwood, when one of the pro bodybuilders walks in. That's like, yeah, you know, that. Yeah, it's like when one of the pros, like the pro pros, like the IFBBs, the guys that, have, you know, we have a couple minutes, Jack London comes down here, Mr. Universe, for example. It's like when one of those guys walks in, and Sabu's only 5'8", 5'9", but there was just something about his presence when he walked into the room, walked into the parking lot. You know, and it carried over the clothes, Sabu, the giant Winnebago, everything.
Sabu was a walking mythology. Like, he was, like, when you hear about, like legendary or lore, he was real-life lore, like, right in front of you. You heard all the legends and the mystique. He was, like, if mystique was physical and you could touch it, that was him, like, in real life. It's the equivalent of seeing like Bigfoot in person or the Loch Ness Monster or an alien or something like that. Something that is so foreign or just like you can't even comprehend what you're seeing or like, is this real? Like, this is a real, like I saw him come out. I was at the arena when he got brought out in the Hannibal Lecter thing with Al, with 911, and they brought, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is revolutionary. Like, this is awesome, dude. And like, that's what launched ECW, fucking Taz versus Sabu. I don't care what anybody says. I know he had a million disagreements with Paul and this and that, but I hate the fact that they weren't able to figure that out and do something just for 3 to 5 years of really good pay for him and set him up like with some kind of pension. So I don't know, but he just,
well, it goes back to the corporate guy versus the wrestling guy.
Yeah.
The wrestling guy was living with Kazarni, you said, Sin Bodhi, and the corporate guy is managing Seth Rollins now.
Yeah,
and a multi millionaire and Hall of Famer.
Yep, there you go. So, couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, well, good stuff, guys.
Yeah, so, guys, this was fun.
Podcast might be done. It might not be done. We don't know. We're going to see over the next few weeks. We're definitely going to take a hiatus, at least until Memorial Day weekend, at least.
And people, hang out with your families. All you people out there, if you haven't learned anything from everything going on. Life is too short. Go be with your family. Don't sit in on a Monday and Memorial Day and watch wrestling on the Spokast. Go be with your family and your loved ones and do what Donnie B's doing. Where are you at right now, Donnie B? You're down at the beach?
I am home. I just got back. Oh. No, I just got back from cheerleading tonight. I pick up my daughters, and I just made dinner for my wife and stuff. She's coming home with her other daughter from a track meet. So I was
down. You hear that? He's with his family, people. He's doing the right thing and being with his family. Enough with the commiserating.
My family's
all right?
Here too. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And we appreciate fun, you showing guys. Some skin.
Yeah, Donnie.
I'm looking pretty good. Ooh. I got my new tats done. Yeah, they're finished. Yeah, look at that.
Ooh. Look at all. That's new?
Dude.
Roses, yeah.
Look at this.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Hey,
my daughter's middle name is Gabby Rose. So it's Rose. So I got my whole arm done with roses for her.
Beautiful. God bless you.
That's awesome.
And people, he's Italian. He's aging in reverse. So I say, be Italian if possible.
If you would have had that, if you would have had that tattoo when you managed me and Trent, you would have broken the whole wrestling business, bro.
I would have, brother. I'd be over. I'd be standing next to Eric Bischoff at these conventions, sharing the table with him.
Dude, showing our veins.
I want one like that now. And you don't have any color on it either. It's all black, isn't it?
No, I don't like color. I like the faded.
Me neither.
My guy does all that. Yeah. I'm getting a dragon next on this side, yeah. So I'm
black. That now.
Yeah, black and gray, kind of dragon, a faded look, pretty cool looking. So I'm developing it. He's developing it now. I'll put it on.
Nice.
Yeah,
dude,
buddies,
I want to see it.
But
all right, guys.
This was fun, guys. All. Hope we can continue it. Thank you.
We'll see what happens, guys. Stay tuned on @Spo Wrestling on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everywhere because we're going to be updating. We got a lot to announce over the next few weeks concerning the app, concerning the school, concerning our return to Spokast, all that stuff, plus a date or two we are going to be announcing. Grand opening of the school obviously has to happen soon, plus another Harris date coming up. So all that will be announced soon. But in the meantime, we have a lot of work to do, guys. We got to get in that building and build it.
Throw up that GoFundMe one more time if you can.
Sure.
Before we go. Please. If you have a minute, please check out Nyleek Ellison's GoFundMe. You can check out. He actually has his mom and dad made him a Facebook page where you can track Nyleek's Nylik's progress and his recovery. And he's just an incredible young man. He was having me hit Johnny with my cane, hit Mayor Roots with my cane. And he likes to heal. So, you know, he's a good kid. He's a huge wrestling fan. He's a huge Spider-Man fan. He's a size 8 shoes. I just want to let everybody know that because summertime's coming. You know, kids always need socks, pajamas, stuff like that when they're in the hospital. So they are taking donations for clothes. And we are going to try to do something special for him when he comes home. His mom's going to have a carnival for him. So stay tuned because we'll try to let everybody know about when that is. And then if we can do something special for him, a wrestling show, a fundraiser, a benefit, that's our commitment. Along with he's one of those kids at Chester. And we're going to do everything we can to support his family and support Mayor Roots. So thank you so much to everybody that supports us and understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. And even though we're, you know, the little guys in this fight, we're not fighting any of the big guys. We're fighting for the kids. We're over here fighting for the kids. That's where our focus
well
is.
Said,
so
well said.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. Thank you, everyone. Boys. We'll see you soon.